Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus had a goal in mind. That goal was that we would be hopeful, that we would have a perspective, an outlook that says, I'm going to survive. I'm going to be okay. This is going to work out. God is still in control. And so I don't have anything to stress about or worry about, right? Too blessed to be stressed. It may not all be fine now, but I don't need to panic. It may not all be the way I expected it to be or the way I want it to be, but I don't need to give up. Men ought always to pray, to hope and not faint. To trust and not, the term actually means cave in or give up. Not cave in to our current circumstances. And sometimes we look around and we see the obstacles and the burdens. And I know just in my conversations that our church people, our families, you, many of you, are carrying burdens no one knows about, at least not the extent. You're the only one who can grasp the extent, the measure of what you're going through. And I'm not minimizing or diminishing that right now it is a crisis, that right now you are being weighed heavily by those things. But Jesus had this in mind: don't quit. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep believing. The pressure you're feeling has the attention of God. God knows. Isn't that good to know? God, maybe not everybody knows. By the way, not everybody needs to know. But God knows. God knows what burdens we're carrying. God knows what's weighing us down. God knows what's keeping us up at night. God knows what's really dictating all of our plans and what we're facing tomorrow. God knows that. And so let's trust Him. Jesus said, trust Him. And don't quit. Look at verse 2. Jesus tells a story of a woman. He uses the term widow. And the reason He uses that term is because, especially in that day, a widow was reliant upon the charity of others. She didn't necessarily have anyone to defend her, no one to stand for her. In that culture, in those days, of course, the man was the strong one, and the man was the public one, and the wife was expected to be quiet and a home caregiver to the children and all of that kind of stuff. And so the widow is a symbol of weakness in the Scriptures. Not to say that's the way it is today. I know some widows who are very strong today. Amen. Very capable today. Okay? But, and here, that's the point. But here's the problem. She didn't have anybody. Didn't have any children. Didn't have a husband. Didn't have anybody to stand up for. Couldn't afford an attorney. Right? That's the idea. There was in a city, verse 2, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So the picture Jesus paints for us is this guy was a piece of work. Man, he was not somebody you'd want to deal with. He had a nasty attitude, selfish. He was in it for himself, didn't care about justice, didn't care about God. All he cared about was that he had that title and he had the income. Verse 3, there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. In other words, I need you to take care of this complication, this situation. Verse 4, he would not for a while. He didn't care. She called again, judge. I don't care. I'm not calling her back. Judge, she's at the door. I'm not available. Judge, she's in your office. Well, let me know when she leaves so I can go in there. Right? He didn't want to deal with her. He had heard her, but what did she do? She kept coming back. Verse 4, he would not help her for a while, but afterward he said within himself, I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He got tired of seeing her every morning when he showed up at the courthouse. He got tired of seeing her sitting in the lobby. He didn't want to deal with her anymore. He said, I'll do whatever you want, just go away. That's the picture. And so what does Jesus use that to tell us? Be persistent. Don't give up. Right? He gave a parable to this end, Luke says, to this end, that we ought to always pray and not faint. Not lose hope. Not cave in. Not quit. How many of you have ever gone through something that required patience? But did you? Did you quit before you got there? Or did you have hope? I always go back to this image in my mind when I was driving up here from Orlando and there was a storm on the interstate and I saw all these cars in the emergency lane with their flashers on just sitting there waiting for the cloud to pass. Now, I don't know if they had super radar in their cars and they knew it was going to be a short time and they'd be able to get back out there. But I just kept on driving. And you know, I bet it wasn't 100 feet from the last car that I passed. I was out of the cloud. The rain was behind me. They were still back there sitting in the rain waiting for it to pass. You know why? Because they quit. Because they gave up. Because they caved in. They gave in. Me, I just kept on pushing through. And came out from the cloud. The Bible talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I remind you every time that it says through the valley. Get out of the valley. Don't camp in the valley. Don't stay in the valley. Don't establish yourself in the valley. Come through the valley to the other side. That's what Jesus is saying. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's a medical situation, keep praying. If it's somebody else's medical situation, keep praying. If it's a financial need, keep praying. If it's a relationship situation, keep praying. If it's about an addiction or some kind of burden that you're carrying, keep praying. Don't quit. Don't cave in. Don't give up. He tells the story of the unrelenting widow. A woman who had no one else to help her, but she didn't give up. And finally, her request was granted by the same one who initially had no interest in helping her. Verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And yet, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 7, did you see what verse 7 said? Verse 7 says you're going to have to cry some days and nights. Verse 7 says we're going to have to pray some days and nights. In other words, the solution doesn't come the first time you ask for it necessarily. Did you read the rest of that verse where he says, though he bear long with them? What was that word after bear? Long. We keep praying, and we want to pray, and we want a solution now. But if it can't be now, at least we want it in a short period of time. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said they cry day and night, and it'll be a long time. It doesn't always take a long time, but guys, we've got to be ready for it to take a long time. Do you understand what it takes for God to move situations around? Because none of us is an island to ourselves, are we? God has to work some things out, has to put some people in some positions. He has to put some people in some offices. And sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of talking to the right person. But God has to shift some things around. Maybe God has to do something so somebody will be late so the right guy will answer the phone, right? Or so that somebody's early so that the right person will answer, open the door. And so God's working these things out. But we got to pray and not give up and not quit. The doctor says thus, don't give up. Pray. Keep praying. Keep hope. Believe. Verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now hold on. Verse 7 said it's going to take a long time. And verse 8 says he's going to avenge them speedily. You know why? Because God begins the process speedily, but sometimes it takes a long time to work it out. He who calls those things which are not as though they were. In other words, God's already figured it out. He's already got it worked out. And we just got to keep believing and keep trusting and keep hoping. Don't quit. One of the worst things that can happen to us, and we'll talk about this tonight, is to get discouraged and quit. How much more effort would it have taken? How much longer would it have taken to actually get where we wanted to be, but now we've quit? Y'all ever use a hand pump for water? It's been a while since I used this illustration. I need to get me one of those. If you see one cheap at a yard sale, pick it up. And you pump that water, right? You pump it and you pump it. How many of you ever used one? Raise your hand. I'm up here pumping. Y'all are raising your hand. That's not how you pump. You do this right here. All right? And you pump it and you pump it and you pump it. And what happens? You get tired and so you quit. And what happens to that water that's in that tube? You had it going. You get it primed and you got that water going. And you worked it and you worked it and you worked it. And you quit. And then it goes down again. When you were almost there. How do you know when you're almost there? Well, you say, I recognize the sound because I've used one before and I know it's coming. It's almost there. Guys, we quit. We quit, we quit, we quit. When we need to hang on and keep hope and keep praying and keep believing and just ask God, show me. Look at what he says. God will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? God's so good to us, isn't he? God, is God good to you? Have you experienced the goodness of God, the blessing of God? First of all, one time a little child looked up to God in prayer from his heart and didn't understand the Bible, didn't understand church, all he understood was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that little boy prayed and said, God, I don't understand it all, but I know I need Jesus, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And you know that's all it took. That's all. God said, I'll save you right now. Wrote his name in the book of life, promised him a home in heaven, and hasn't left him a day since then. We don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to believe and ask. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says in verse 8, shall he find faith? God is so good to us. But when God comes, is he going to find us believing in him? There are a lot of church people, a lot of church members, a lot of Christians who are out of church today, not because of some medical situation, not because of some health problem, but just because they quit church. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Do they even believe? You know, I've talked to people who used to be a Christian. What? Used to be a Christian. They gave up on God. They didn't just quit church. Guys, I get it. Sometimes you get mad at the preacher, and I don't blame you. He's a knothead. Sometimes you get mad at other people in the church and squabble with them, and so you say, I'm not going to that church anymore. Fine. But how many churches did you pass to get here? Go to one of them. Visit one of, not y'all, y'all stay. Right? We're talking to people that aren't in church today. Go find one of them. Go to one of those churches and see if that preacher's better. See if he preaches better. See if the song leader's better. Right? See if you like the music more. See if something there just builds you up and makes you a better Christian. And if it does, then you should be going there. Don't quit God. Don't quit church. I'd rather know you're going somewhere and getting fed the Word of God and making a difference and going out and helping people with your faith. When the Son of Man cometh, as good as God is, as much as He does for us, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith? Is there going to be any left? The number of churches that close, number of pastors that quit, the number of church members that quit. Saddens me to see old church buildings converted to salons and homes and museums. Why? Because people just quit going to church. Shall he find faith? Should men pray and not faint? But see, part of the problem is the reason we go to church. The reason some people quit going is because they were going for the wrong reasons anyway. Y'all do understand that I'm just one minister among ministers this morning. That I'm just one evangelist among all these evangelists this morning. You see, the ministry of the church is not solely the responsibility of the pastor. The ministry of the church is the ministry of the church. And I'll say, we have a great church. Ministering and loving and helping and available and wanting to do. What can we do? Tell us what to do. Verse 9, he spake a parable. Unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one, the other, a publican. And if you don't understand what a publican is, he's a tax collector. That's the attitude they had for tax collectors, for publicans. Doesn't get any worse than that. There goes our 501c3. Anyway, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners. Well, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the publican. The tax collectors of that day were known for to be extortioners. Unjust. You see, the taxes that they charged one were different than the taxes they charged another. Unjust. Adulterers. Oh, so there's that in there too. Or even, in case he didn't get it yet, I'm talking about him, so let me just be clear, even as this publican. I'm glad I'm not like him. Very pious, isn't he? Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, how about that? You think that when he stood there in the temple to pray, do you think that a ray of light shone down from heaven and there were angels? Oh. You think that's what happened? I don't think so. But he was sure impressed with himself, wasn't he? You know, some people, the reason they drop out of church is because they were going to church to be the center of attention, and they're not anymore. And since they're not anymore, there's no point going. And so this Pharisee stood there, and he prayed, and he was so proud of himself, he just told God, look how good I am. Verse 13. And that extortioner, unjust, adulterer, publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. But he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why'd you come to church today? To talk about how good you are? Or talk about how good God is. Because God's mercy talks about how bad I am and how good He is.
I tithe and I fast and I'm not like others.
Is that why we come to church, to show off? Because I'll guarantee you, if that's why you're here, you won't fit in long. It won't last. But if you come to God's house and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, you're home now. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke says that Jesus told a parable to this end. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And then he told us how to pray. God, I don't deserve it, but I'm asking you to grant my request. And he says, be persistent. Keep coming back and keep coming back. Well, God didn't give me what I asked for. I must not deserve it. You know what Jesus said? Keep coming back. Keep coming back. You get up in the morning, pray. On your way, whenever you think about it, pray. Lunchtime, pray. When you think about it in the afternoon, pray. Before you go to bed, pray. Wake up in the middle of the night. There, see, y'all. But, Pastor, there's no way God's going to do what I'm asking Him to do. I don't know. I just know Jesus told us not to quit. I know that some of us don't just need, you know, a little blessing. We need a miracle. And I'm praying with you. And I'm praying, asking God to give you your miracle. And if I don't quit, could you do me the decency of you not quitting either? Let's cross the finish line together. I can't pull you. Let's go together. Let's go side by side. And let's ask God for it together. And let's trust God for it together. And let's not faint. But do me this also. Don't make me keep coming back to get you. Because I'm going and then you quit and give up. I got to come back and get you and get back on course. Start here. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Start there. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your blessings. And we realize there are things, needs, right here in this room, in the hearts of these people and those that are joining us. There's no way we can do this without you. We need you. We can't even have hope unless you give it to us. So God, give us hope. Give us strength. Draw us to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to come. From where you are, you could pray. If you don't know Jesus right now, could you pray from your heart to God's heart to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for my sins. And I accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. I put my trust, my hope in you. This is your opportunity. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Anybody that's going to participate in Vacation Bible School, please come up and let's have a meeting. We do. Are they ready for a baptism? Could somebody go back there and wake up Brother Adam and all the kids? And so if you want to hang around, we're going to have a baptism. So hang around for the Bible school and for the baptism. Otherwise, tonight at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Is there anything else from anyone before we're dismissed? All right, let's pray. God, we love you so much, and thank you for the privilege we've had to be in your house today with your people and your word. We pray that you'll draw us to you, that you'll make us useful, that you'll forgive our sins. God, hear our cries and give us the grace to endure until we see the answer you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.